For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. This is War of the Worlds on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I'm George Eliason, and this is the radio broadcast from TNT, breaking the news of the War of the Worlds. In front of the microphone, you won't be hearing armchair generals and think tankers paid to run propaganda for NATO and the Biden administration. This microphone is fitted with a special filter to keep the propaganda and false expertise out. This is not the hour for repeating what you already heard and rehashing what you already know. This isn't a crosstalk of reporters pushing their bylines in exchange for your money. And this isn't the BBC's hard talk with its soft-scented confectionery manufactured at the Foreign Office and MI6. They are the alien invaders. This is the hour when you'll be able to hear the news breaking from the news fronts throughout Europe and from your ears to your brains. Not the alien invaders, but the fresh, original human analysis of what the breaking news means. So sit tight, and here goes. On today's show, we've got Jason Shepherd, the founder of Wimkins Social Media, and he's an entrepreneur and free speech advocate who's launched multiple social media platforms to provide alternatives to combat big tech censorship. And this is a very serious guy, folks. Now, the founder of Wimkins Social Media has had numerous IT leadership positions in major corporate healthcare before leaving the industry during COVID with what they wanted to do with censorship, because he observed the irregularities in COVID testing and government reporting protocols. He formed Wimkins Social Media in August 2020. And in May 2021, he partnered with Newsmax host Wendy Bell and Wendy Bell Radio to develop an app to keep her free from censorship. Now, Wimkin was banned from Apple and Google's Play Apps stores in January 2021, despite being number one in both stores. And after receiving multiple subpoenas from the House Select Committee on January 6th, Jason has grown Wimkin to over 9 million users, which is incredible. He's also created a TikTok alternative named Realster and a YouTube alternative aptly named Truth Leak. He's a staunch defender of the Constitution and freedom of speech. He's an advocate for election integrity and a philanthropist, donating a large percentage of platform profits to victims of child sex trafficking in organizations that prevent such things. After the break, we'll get into it with Jason Shepherd, but let's go to Ukraine news first. Now, Volodymyr Zelensky has said he's certain he's going to have success in his war against Russia, but insisted that Kiev has a plan for the year ahead. And he's defending the slow pace of the counteroffensive, saying he's sure we'll have success and we'll try to show that result this year, but we don't need to surprise everybody in the world. We need this for ourselves. Yes, he does. Will he get it? No, he won't. What's going on right now is that the funding for Ukraine is dropping. What's really crazy about this is that 96% of the U.S. funds for the war are already spent. The money's running out until they strike a new budget deal for Ukraine. It's just a matter of tick-tock. How fast can they steal 4%? It's getting so bad that even Germany, who's a staunch supporter of Ukraine, is withdrawing Patriot air defense missiles and units from Poland. They're starting to pull out now. All that big mass of war technology has done nothing but enrich the scrap iron dealers in Ukraine. The fighting around Avdiivka is going horribly for Ukraine. Russia is continuing to encircle it, and Ukraine is losing ground and men daily. It is a bloodbath over there. The reason why it's going so slow is because Ukraine has had 8 years to build defense measures, including huge concrete trench encasements. It's going to be a slow battle. And honestly, the whole thing is to try to keep civilian deaths low. Now, within the last few weeks, and this is happening over and over again, it is a big story. A Ukrainian battalion, an entire battalion, surrendered, quit sides, switched sides, and they claimed they're fighting for Ukraine and Russia to free their homeland from the Kiev regime. Now, this is making big news in the West. And the news is saying that Russia is forcing Ukrainian POWs to fight against their homeland. And they're calling it a possible war crime. Yeah, it would be if they were being forced. Now, we're talking about a battalion-sized element. If that was the case, and they're armed, it would be fairly easy for them to cross lines again. It would be incredibly stupid for Russia to try to do this because they could spin around. And why wouldn't they? Think about it. But the simple fact is, more and more of the Ukrainian army, every chance they get, is surrendering, switching sides because of what's going on out of Kiev. And it's not that they're not being, allowed to win the war. It's what their government means to their own people. And the horror that Zelensky's regime is doing to the average Ukrainian. Ukraine right now doesn't have a future. A generation and a half has been lost already. And that is the great shame of this. That is the great shame of this. Now, also in the news, and this is just to perk Ukraine up and keep him going, they're being considered for EU membership again. The EU Commission is taking this up this week. And Zelensky is saying it's a historic step. Well, remember, they started talking this way in 2014. You can join the EU if you break off with Russia. Then they said, well, no, you're too corrupt for us. The corruption level in Ukraine has only increased from then till now. Ukraine's value as the breadbasket of Europe has dropped immeasurably. The grain coming out of Ukraine right now that nobody wants to buy is full of pesticides, poisons, and it's genetically modified. It can't be sold in Europe. So they don't know what to do with it. They cannot support Ukraine. And that's what's going on. Does the EU want Ukraine? No. But they want to keep them on the hook and keep the war going. And that's just the shame of it. I'm George Eliason. This is War of the Worlds, TNT Talk Radio Live. Now, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host that you'd like to hear on TNT Radio? Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss? Well, we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Charlie Robinson is talking about.
I think once we saw the supply chain issues that happened during the COVID debacle, you go, well, that seems bad for the, you know, when you're fighting somebody for toilet paper, but it could be worse, right? It could be the last can of food. So people are starting to reevaluate and reassess their situations and their relationship with supply chains and the like. And I think what that does is it leads you to a place of saying, how can I make myself less dependent on the system? It's kind of hard to know where to start, right? Where would you suggest we even begin with this process?
Yeah, it's funny you said that, because someone said to me recently, and it made me laugh, that this is going to be the kind of collapse where the Burger King's still open. I think that's what's probably lulling people into a false sense of security, in that everything, when we go to the city, kind of appears normal, unless you're in one of those really crazy drug-addled cities. But for most people, I would say, Charlie, it feels normal, but it ain't normal. The world is not normal. It's completely gone off kilter.
Charlie Robinson on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
When a crisis hits, close to home and across the globe, nonprofits are on the front lines, ready to serve.
Keep coming.
The demand for charitable services has skyrocketed, and nonprofits are rising to meet the needs. Healing. Nurturing. Rescuing, honoring, protecting, caring, inspiring. The work of philanthropic organizations of all sizes, across all missions, has never been more important. And it's donors and volunteers like you who make all this possible. Thank you. Together, we change the world. The Nonprofit Alliance.
You better lock up your sons when the ex-girls hit town. We're an irresistible force. We have the power to get whatever and whoever we want. Let's go. Time to find somewhere hot. We cut through the traffic. No one can stand in our way. Wait there. Don't move a muscle, the paramedic said. Well, the driver said I just ran out in front of him. I can't remember anything, but I've been told I'll be on crutches for a while, and my miniskirt-wearing days are over.
Too much alcohol makes you feel invincible when you're most vulnerable. At least 77% of pedestrians killed in road accidents at night had been drinking. Alcohol. Know your limits.
You're listening to War of the Worlds with George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome back. As promised, we have Jason Shepherd, the founder of Wimkin Social Media, and he's going to tell us the story of how this started. It's very interesting, especially because of the, I guess, the speed that it took off and the reaction that he got from the U.S. government and from other social media in search engines. Jason, why did you found Wimkin Social? What was behind all this?
Thank you guys so much for having me. But first and foremost, what made us really start this platform was I actually worked in healthcare IT. And in September of 2019, we were hit with a mass project of getting, you know, certain testing protocols submitted to our 2,300 plus primary care physicians, and also have these things reported to county health departments. And again, September is a very important aspect in this, because obviously I'm speaking about COVID tests at this point in time. And the world really didn't know about COVID. Certainly the United States did not know about COVID in September of 2019. And so essentially what happened, guys, was we administered 130,000 tests. All of these were coming back positive due to the fact that we were testing for any form of coronavirus, which, you know, many of us have right now in our bodies and are completely asymptomatic for. So going to our senior, you know, high ups, and obviously, you know, we had doctors calling me daily saying we're not providing these tests anymore because something is wrong with them. They're faulty. They're not good. They're reporting over a 99% accuracy. So, you know, at this point in time, when we found out what the testing was for, and, you know, around December of, 19, you know, we obviously saw in the media what was happening. We saw obviously what was happening in China, Spain, Italy, and, you know, what was heading here, of course. And we refused to get involved. Well, I refused to get involved with the fear mongering. So ended up leaving my position and started something. It was a website called worldmustknow.com. And we ended up having the most comprehensive COVID timeline on there. We had maybe about 90 to 100 entries per day from around the world. And, you know, our users started getting 30,000 plus unique visitors a day. And all these users said, hey, we want to comment on your post. We want to comment on this. We want to comment on that. We want to share our story. So World Must Know, which is WMK, turned into World Must Know Now, which is actually what WMKN stands for, WMKN. And we started a social media platform based upon that. And also another motivating factor was when Facebook started, you know, censoring prayer. Facebook started censoring Save the Children hashtags, calling them, you know, terroristic in nature. And we just got fed up. We got fed up 100%. We were already fed up with you know, conservatives not having free speech on any of the social medias out there, obviously Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and, you know, basically the three largest for sure. And that's where we started WMKN for.
Yeah, but going out, well, it's one thing to, you know, start websites to do all that. And that's great. But we'll start a social media platform and we'll just blow through this. It's just not something that... it's an everyday happening, especially with the ground that you gained. You really blazed a trail there. Now, your first year, how many members did you have the first year?
Okay, so that's a really interesting story in its own right. So we launched our platform roughly around the end of August of 2020. And by January 14th, 2021, we were banned from both app stores. At that point, we had about right around 500,000 users. We were banned 3 days after Parler was, and essentially blamed for the alleged insurrection that happened here in the United States. So, you know, we were number one in both app stores. We were number one trending app, and we were getting some, at this point in time, some 10,000 new members a day without really marketing the product. It was all word of mouth advertising, because we were literally just open for a little over, you know, 4 months, almost going into 5 months.
Which is incredible.
Well, thank you. I mean, everybody was looking for an alternative at that point in time. I mean, Parler was huge at that point in time, which turned out to be a very bad situation for almost every single Parler user. But, you know, you had Getter launching, you had all these other, you know, platforms that were going to try to give a alternative to censorship. And, you know, WMKN, the way we're set up, it's a Facebook meets a YouTube meets a Twitter X and meets a TikTok. We have all of those features of every platform built into one. So I believe we were deemed as a huge threat. You know, you can disseminate information in more ways here. You know, we have live streaming for up to 3 hours per stream. So people come and do their entire TV shows. We have, you know, you can upload 50 gigabyte videos to our platform. You can't do that on any other social media besides Facebook. And, you know, we have a video chat, we have group video chat for up to 20 people, and everything's data private and encrypted, in terms of Messenger. So, they stunted our growth for a reason, but, the first year was, was good financially because we were, you know, scaling infrastructure and making sure everything, you know, was attainable growth, of course. And but then they derailed us pretty badly.
Well, first, let's get into the scaling. First question is, were you surprised to get that kind of reaction right away? And second, scaling up at that level is not the easiest thing in the world. That must have been a pretty tumultuous time for you, you know, especially as a startup.
It definitely was, and I'm glad you understand that. I was surprised, obviously, that we reached, you know, 500,000 by January in terms of users. But, you know, technically not so much, because when we had that worldmustknow.com website, we were getting, like I said, roughly 30,000 unique visitors. And, you know, the world was locked down at this point in time, and people were very, you know, people were scared. They were trying to find a real place to get information from. So, you know, that is the reason why we grew so much. It wasn't so much that we offered an incredible product, which I certainly believe we do. And it wasn't, you know, our amazing marketing capabilities. It was other people telling, you know, others out there, hey, there's a new site and you need to get on it, because if you want to hear the truth is out there, and your opinion, anything you believe, is not going to be censored. But yeah, the scaling is certainly a tough aspect, because once we had January 6th happened here in the United States, we had a DNS registrar shut us down. We had our server company shut us down. My goodness, I had Capital One Bank shut us down. We had so many cancels, it wasn't even funny. So we ended up finding a great server company until we ended up building our own infrastructure to where we could scale. But there were certainly some growing pains in the beginning, George, I can tell you that much.
Well, now this is really interesting, because in part, you start this because of Save the Children, okay? Mm-hmm. Prayer. You're advocating American patriotism, and you're being blamed for, well, you know, they're calling it an insurrection, okay? Mm-hmm. You have all these platforms, Google, everybody coming down on you. For a startup to survive that, I mean, it's incredible. But what was your reaction when they started hitting you up with the T word? Terrorist, insurrectionist.
You know what? I'm laughing, but it's kind of a very sad story, because I don't know, you know, what you're familiar with right now, obviously being in the Ukraine war zone, but obviously you have ties here. But if any of your listeners are familiar with, you know, kind of phones that are made for elderly individuals, like my parents, you know, my mom and dad, they have these older phones. I think it's Consumer Cellular, which is they're all Android devices. And when you open the phone, it takes you to, you know, Google News, mm-hmm. which are just like kind of built into the homepage. And then my mom saw our platform, you know, being called, you know, we're shut down because we're allowing domestic terrorism and things. And then, you know, about, I want to say 2 weeks later from that, she suffered a pretty massive stroke. And at that point in time, thank you, I appreciate that. And at that time, my entire family was, you know, sort of blaming me for that. Obviously, the vaccines be damned. I mean, we won't talk about that, but, you know, it was terrible timing. And but you know what, in other circles it lofted us, because you know, when we were banned from Apple, you can't sideload an Apple app without having, you know, some pretty extensive tech knowledge. So there was no way we were going to put something out on Apple, or you know, to combat Apple, where you couldn't load this app. So
right.
Android, we were removed from the Google Play Store, obviously, but you could still get the Android app by downloading an APK. So that was pretty easy. We just listed that right on our Wimkin site. But Apple, it took 7.5 months to beat them. And the only concession we made, I mean, they wanted us to watch every single live stream with a staff of people to shut it down immediately. They wanted us to, you know, not allow anything that they sent us in, you know, predetermined ways to say, you have to monitor your platform this way, you have to not allow this. And we said, no, we're not doing that. 100% we're not doing that. And well, in the end,
question.
Sure.
Now, if they're doing this to you, they're obviously not doing that to everybody else. If you took that into a courtroom, you're being, you know, I mean, you're looking at it, a corporation is treated like a person. So person to person, you're looking at it as oh my gosh, Irish don't apply here. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, it's definitely, I don't know what it would be called in terms of, you know, a corporate legal fight, but it's, you're definitely being hit with obvious prejudice.
Yeah.
They're not holding the same standard to all their customers, you know. Yeah.
Well, George, so, I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, this would be in any criminal court, and especially in federal court in the United States, it would be vindictive and selective prosecution. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And that was one of our avenues, because we did actually take this to a legal realm, and we had our users on other, you know, we had about 50,000 users contact Apple, because we put out Apple developers email, and we put out Google developers email. And they started sending them, I don't want to say threats, because that's certainly not the right word, but they said, we're not going to use any Android products anymore. We're not going to use Google. And certainly the same to Apple, we'll never buy an iOS device again. And then furthermore, what we had our users do at this point in time, we had about 2,000 screenshots that we actually had displayed in our proposed filing. I mean, we had two attorneys at this time going up against 30,000 in Apple, if you know what I mean, and God knows how many. But we sent a proposed filing for the Southern District of California, where we had real-time screenshots of so much violence on then Twitter and so much violence on X. And we were only banned for what Apple and Google Play together, a total of 9 instances that they sent us, 9 total, 5 on Google Play and 4 on Apple. They were memes, they were comments. They didn't go against our standards, and they really don't go against any platform standards, to be honest, because they were mostly opinion. But we sent this proposed filing to them, and it worked. You know, the only concession we ended up having to make after we sent this filing was Apple came back to us and said, the only thing we want you to do is change the way you market this on the App Store. Take uncensored out of your name. And I agreed to that, because Wimkin is not 100% uncensored. I mean, we don't allow pornography, we don't allow nudity, and we don't allow posts with criminal, you know, element to them, such as selling drugs, threatening somebody.
Well, shame on you for that.
Thank you.
Jeez. But, I mean,
that's the only thing. So we lost, you know, 8 months of being in the App Store. We could have grown 10 times as large as we are now. And, you know, we lost our ability to monetize through these things too. I mean, they did this purposely. And then ironically, and not so ironically if you think about it, as soon as this, you know, the fact that news broke that we were back in the App Stores, we ended up getting canceled by PayPal, which we probably shouldn't have used from the beginning, but it was really easy to tie their API into subscriptions and payments for the platform. And then on top of that, we ended up getting subpoenaed and by the USDOJ, and also demands from the House Select Committee on January 6th. So everything you could possibly think of that, you know, big tech, mainstream media, and, you know, the government, which is, to my opinion, the collective left right there, they tried everything they could to stifle us, cancel us, and we are still here going strong.
What happened with the DOJ?
Well,
I mean, this is really interesting when you consider, I'm an investigative journalist. In 2015, I broke the Russiagate story. And I was stopped at the top of Project Censored for 2018-2019 because of that. It was a series of articles. So before all this was happening, I was saying it was coming and why and who was behind it. Mm-hmm. Now, actually trying to geolocate me. And I actually took it to Twitter, and Twitter said, oh, that's within our TOS, terms of service, that's fine. I said, they're trying to geolocate me so I can be killed. Oh, that's within our TOS, that's fine. So you're not advocating anything. You're not supporting, you know, murder like Twitter did back then under Jack. actually contacted him, and he read it, and it was a message. He read it, and then he blocked me after he read it.
Yeah.
So you're not even in the same galaxy in terms of liability here. You haven't. You're doing everything right, and the DOJ is coming after you.
Yes, they came after us extremely hard. I mean, it wasn't like they were so much trying to prosecute us for anything, but what they were trying to do was just basically find out a way to shut us down. And that was through obviously bad press and bad media. There's also something, before I get into what the select committee actually asked for, your listeners should definitely would want to take a look at this, but it's a very little known body of law enforcement, first and foremost. Not so much the U.S. Postal Inspection Service. They're the oldest body of law enforcement known about, but they had a division devoted, it seems like, directly for our platform, and it was called ICOP. It's like Internet Covert something. I can't remember what it stands for, but it's ICOP. So if anybody wants to search WIMKIN, which is WIMKIN, and ICOP, you will be astounded at what they did to us. They surveilled our platform. They talked about us with every single ABC agency you could possibly think of. And to this day, we still have problems with our U.S. mail. There's no doubt about that. But to get into what the Select Committee certainly asked for. So this was everything. Every single piece of information on every user, that is the best way I can put this for you. And George, you know, on my Twitter, which I seen that we added each other this morning, I actually have these images of these letters and these demands from Benny Thompson himself posted, because I want people to see what we went through and what they were asking for, because it is the most egregious level of overreach that I've ever seen. They wanted pretty much every single thing about how our platform works, algorithms, which we don't have. They wanted credit card numbers for users, which we didn't accept at that point in time.
Oh, wow.
They wanted phone numbers of, you know, people that signed up, which there was a reason from the beginning we did not accept phone number sign-ups, because we would have had to give them away.
Right.
They wanted email addresses of people that signed up, and we said we don't verify email addresses. We're 100% data private, so we're, you know, there's nothing. We don't even know if these are these people's real email addresses. They wanted you know, text messages, which I believe they refer to as, you know, what our direct messages would be on our platform. And those are encrypted, so we can't access those. So, you know, they also wanted, the funniest one was what we wanted to, what we would define as misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. So our counsels responded and said, we are not doing this for you. It's not like we want to poke the bear with this government issue, but at the same time, right, we don't have this information that you're asking for. If you do have something on a specific user you believe that committed a crime, then you can talk to us. But as of right now, we are not completing your investigation for you.
I want to get into that a little bit further. We've got to take a quick break, Jason. This is War of the Worlds, and we'll be right back.
TNT Radio's Steve Hook.
Adam is driving what they call the doxing truck all around Harvard, and he's been doing this for a couple of weeks. And it's basically a truck, LED lighting all the way around it. It's like a big box truck. And he flashes the names of students who have signed a letter that is, if you read the letter, it's obviously pro-Hamas. And obviously, Adam has taken issue with that. And he's saying, you know what, if you want to put your name on a letter, don't think you're going to be doing it, you know, behind the scenes. We're going to let everybody know who you are, and you should, if you proudly signed that letter, you shouldn't mind this at all. Well, as you can imagine, a lot of people have minded it, and even a few of those people that signed the letter originally have now rescinded their signature and said, I don't want any part of this. And part of that is because Fortune 500 companies and other big tech companies taking notes on all of these names, and they're just not going to hire them. And a couple of them have come out and said, good luck, you're not working for us.
Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
One in four people in Northern Ireland will be affected by depression in their lifetime. In fact, Northern Ireland has the highest rate of depression in the UK. Despite this, there's still a stigma attached to talking about it and mental illness in general. At Aware, we're trying to change that. Our story began in 1996 in Derry, Londonderry, when a small group of people came together with a shared vision to improve services for people with depression and bipolar disorder. This meeting led to the establishment of 25 peer-led support groups and the start of Aware, the depression charity for Northern Ireland. Providing support is at the heart of what we do. and we involve people with personal experience of depression at every level in the organisation, so that those who use our services have a say in how they're developed. We believe that talking to others who know how you feel is an important step in your journey to recovery. We've developed a range of education programmes, which we deliver in schools, universities, community venues, prisons, hospitals, and workplaces. These programmes provide attendees with the tools to look after their mental and emotional well-being and help them to recognise the signs of mental ill health and know where to get help. We have a range of online services, including online support groups and programmes, and an interactive website offering support and information. We've been raising the profile of mental health and increasing public awareness about depression through our public talks and outreach events. We work in partnership with local government and voluntary organisations to maximise our impact. Back when we founded Aware, depression was an illness talked about in whispers. A lot has changed since then, and we're having a real impact by breaking down the stigma. But we still have work to do. Aware's vision is a future where nobody is too ashamed to talk about their mental health. And we believe that everyone in Northern Ireland should have access to services appropriate to their needs. Join us. Donate, volunteer, campaign, or even just start a conversation about mental health today. Together, we can overcome depression and change lives.
Visit aware-ni.org. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
In this day and age, everybody deserves the right to access phone and internet services. Whether you're from regional, rural or remote Australia, the Regional Tech Hub can independently assist with providing advice on connectivity options in your local area, or work with you and your service provider to resolve outstanding issues with phone and internet. And our service is absolutely free. Find out more by visiting regionaltechhub.org.au or by calling 1300 081 029. RTH is an initiative of the Australian Government delivered by the NFF.
This is War of the Worlds on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to War of the Worlds. We're with Jason Shepherd, founder of Wimkin Social Media, and this is an amazing story. Now, they want all this information. Before the Snowden revelations, that the U.S. government was monitoring everybody. Obviously this actually happened in 2012 with the Schmidt-Mundt Act revision. They gained the powers to do these things. It amounts to searching without a warrant, not going before a judge, getting a warrant, search and seizure. You're seizing private information. And there's no justifiable cause in this. There's nothing obvious. Oh, someone posted something. So you're really sticking your neck out there with this. What kind of liability did they promise you or threaten you with?
So that's really the thing. And you'll have to read these letters because I really think you would, I don't want to say get a kick out of them, but you probably would laugh at these. They were very stern, of course, but they weren't subpoenas. They weren't demands stating that you were, commanded to do this. They asked us to preserve every record. They even had the gall to ask us to not allow anyone to delete their accounts. So they were affecting our, the way we actually or attempted to affect the way we were running our business, which obviously we certainly wouldn't stand for. But so essentially, it was more of like an implied threat of what they would do to us, because, at this point in time, people were getting indicted daily. This happened in November.
Exactly.
So you see the pressures of other platforms. I mean, I don't know if Twitter fell to the pressure of these things. Parler certainly did. I mean, Parler probably has maybe their hand in about 30 to 40% of the J6 prisoners right now. But, we had nothing to provide them, and that's essentially what we told them. Again, if you want to get a USDOJ subpoena for specific users that you believe committed a crime, we can talk to you then. But, it was, again, more of an implied threat of, hey, you were messing with the United States government. And at that point in time, the entire world was calling us terrorists. And, you know, we never knew. You know, there was times where I thought the FBI was going to kick my door in every single day, every single time, you know, we heard our elevator at the office. We're like, okay, here they come. And all we're doing is just providing a place where people can speak freely.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, too. And you're doing it the right way. But I got to tell you, you know, an agency called ICOP. Mm-hmm. I would have asked for a letter from them because I don't think anyone would believe me that it exists.
We didn't get anything. I found out on the internet. I literally found out when we saw, you know, an ethics website post this. We saw it on Politico. And yeah, I was never contacted by a single person, by law enforcement, by anybody. Our counsels weren't letting them know that we were under surveillance. To this day, I had literally no idea this existed until I started searching the internet myself.
Unbelievable. I mean, honestly, I just couldn't, you know, imagine admitting, yeah, I work for ICOP. We bully people. That's what we do.
And the way they explain the program, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the way they explain the program is it's essentially a body of law enforcement inside the United States Postal Inspection Service that teaches postal workers to look out for certain things. But I don't know why these postal workers are on the internet watching us. So it's something that blows my mind.
I didn't know about that. So we have the postmen are actually they're badged law enforcement now or unbadged law enforcement now.
It would seem that way. You know, there's some interesting. Politico wrote a pretty interesting one. They were pretty neutral on this, saying that, you know, the FBI is the one that does this job. Why are postal workers doing this? Why are these people even involved? And they quoted some pretty heavy lawyers in that article. But yeah, I mean, there's things that exist on the internet too. There's actually bulletins that were circulated within these departments, and they make for a great read. I mean, and this is something that happened in 2020. And I'd like to caution all your listeners and everybody that obviously is on the WIMKIN platform, anyone anywhere in the United States and in the world, 2024 is not going to get any better. There is nothing but desperation in this world right now, and especially in the United States with all these indictments against Donald Trump. They're trying to do anything they possibly can to thwart this man, to thwart conservatism, to push socialism, to put, you know, trans rights, to actually, you know, manipulate our children. And it's a very bad time. It really is. And if this was happening in 2020 with a little platform, a very little known platform, you had, you know, so many government agencies watching us, it's going to get worse. 2024 is going to be the year of censorship. Not that we haven't already gone through that, but it's going to completely blow up to levels that we haven't seen.
And I agree with you 100% based on everything that I've seen. The people that are, and you know, it's a shame. As far as the internet goes, the actual, like the FBI trainers, the ones that taught them OSINT, if you knew the actual history of these people, your mind would be blown, like I was with ICOP. One of the trainers built websites. That's what he did. That was his claim to fame right up until 9/11/2001. Another one was a gift shop cashier. She has one of the most prestigious internet OSINT companies in the world today. Let's see, we had another one did porn videos with his wife. Became an internet sleuth. All these people taught these government agencies. That's the kicker. They influenced the culture dramatically, radically, inside all these agencies. And the other thing that most people don't understand is inside the agencies, when you talk about the CIA, 80% of the CIA isn't sworn in CIA. They're outside contractors.
That's very true.
And they go job to job depending on the project. So it could be CIA this month, and it could be a private contractor that's working for a lobbyist who wants to get something done on the same line, and they take that information with them. Or they bring the information into the CIA, which is already bought and paid for. So if someone doesn't like conservatives, they hear about your platform going up, it's, you've already got, they went on a hiring spree, and starting in 2018, they needed within 2 years, 3 million new faces working OSINT investigations. Mm-hmm. Now you figure 3 million, if you have a population of 300,000, each one of those people have, you know, what, 30 days work?
Yeah.
A year? I mean, a month? Okay. Yeah. Not 31. They can go through the entire population, down to the smallest baby, all the online information, and decide who they're going to wreck. So gearing up into an election season, yeah, we're in a lot of trouble right now. Now, how much pressure do you think you're going to be under going into this? Okay.
Well, Go ahead, George.
Well, you've got everything going on with Trump, which is a tremendous amount of pressure for him, his family, his team. For any conservative, but it's all focused on him because he's the presumed nominee already. Anybody that's supporting him, what we're going to see, would you agree that, you covered this a bit, but, you know, get into the why. Supporting conservatives or supporting Donald Trump again in 2024 is going to make it that much harder to even be on social media for the average person.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you 100%. I mean, that's going to, we've already been warned by Congresswoman and, you know, and plenty of other people that they are coming for Trump supporters. I mean, legitimately, mm-hmm. we're seeing that. And, you know, it's a scary thing when you say, you know, they needed 3 million of these, you know, internet sleuths to do this work. And now, you know, we're in the age of where they're, you know, starting to put these IRS and Treasury agents in place. So guarantee that we are going to be, as, you know, Trump supporters and conservatives, we're going to be number one on their list. I mean, we've already been warned this. I mean, literally in the public realm of things, we've been warned this by our opposition. So I'll knock on wood, which I always do in these interviews, because, you know, it's a Pittsburgh thing, I guess, in the family I grew up. But, you know, every time I do this, I get asked that question of what I think, you know, is going to happen to us. And luckily, since I want to say, February of 22, we've never heard back from the government. You know, the J6 people, the USDOJ, they pretty much left us alone because, I mean, we are the cleanest platform out there. We don't allow scammers. We don't allow anything that, you know, goes against our standards, which are pretty simple. No pornography, no nudity, no criminal element. So I think that's what social media should be. And, you know, I was scrolling Facebook the other day and I'm seeing things that are probably criminal on Facebook and they don't do anything about them. They literally do not do anything about them. And, you know, going back to that first or the story a little bit a while back, how we beat the app stores again was we had our users screenshot these things and say, you are being hypocritical here. You know, if you do this to one platform, you have to do them to, you know, do it to all. So, but it's going to come down to really how, you know, the American, at least in our system here in America, where we have to stand up and we have to get to these polls. We have to not allow election fraud and we have to get in front of this problem because we are slipping off a cliff. I mean, right now we are hanging on by, I guess, a reed popping out of the wall here, or, you know, the side of the cliff, because, you know, we're about right there. I never in my lifetime, and especially doing this for only like 3.5 years, you know, when I first started this, I never thought it would get to this point. I didn't see a scenario where, you know, the United States of America could fall so far and so fast. But that just shows you that it was a absolutely, you know, systematic approach of getting this country to be in this position that it is right now. And the only way to, you know, combat this at the first instance is to have a place, a safe haven where you can talk openly and you can, you know, exercise your First Amendment right to free speech.
Now, being there, okay, having gone through all this and looking ahead, what is it going to take to reel all this in at the government level? What is it going to take? Have you given that any thought?
I certainly have. I mean, so we need to do a lot of different things. I mean, I don't think Facebook, I don't believe much in Elon Musk's vision of Twitter at this point in time either. I mean, I had a 700,000 follower account that I still can't get back. And I also tried to pay for advertising for Wimkin on Musk platform. And then they banned that account as soon as I did that when I started a new account after CPAC. So if people are looking at these platforms to, you know, change their ways, I certainly don't see that happening even under Musk after he hired Linda Yaccarino as the CEO, because she's telling him he needs to censor. And she comes from NBC Universal, where all they did was censor. So that's one thing I want people to be cautious of. You know, those platforms are still not going to be free and fair. And secondly, the Judge Doughty ruling, you know, out of Louisiana and, you know, Texas and Florida are also fighting for free speech. I really think that was going to be our stronghold. I mean, when Doughty issued his opinion, people don't realize this happened on July 4th, where he said the Biden administration has, you know, violated First Amendment rights of all Americans on social media. So that was a huge day for us. And I said, okay, we're finally starting to get somewhere. And the timing of that can't be ignored. You know, there is no federal courts. There's probably no courts in the land of the United States that are convened on July 4th. So I think that was a little slap in the face to say what's coming down. However, of course, they appealed this. They got a stay on it. And then it went to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court upheld most of the important things, I guess. Not most, but I'd say about 50% of that bill helps. So that's the starting point for me. That's the groundwork there is, you know, citizens need to stand up. All the conservatives and everyone who's been censored on this, who's been deplatformed, been demonetized, and they had their livelihoods taken away from them, you know, their work essentially stolen from them, need to stand up and sue these companies, sue the Biden administration, sue all the ABC agencies that are involved with it. And I believe that's how we start tipping this back in our favor, which it should never even be a favor about it, but it will tip it back towards free speech.
Well said. Now, we've got to wrap up the interview, but I wanted to part of your biography says that you donate a large percentage of the platform profits to victims of child sex trafficking and organizations that prevent these things. Why is that important to you personally?
Well, it's important to me. I mean, I think that's, besides, I guess, murder, one of the most egregious things that another human being can do to somebody. I mean, it you know, at that young age of, you know, just being an innocent child and then being forced into a world of this nature, you know, of child sex trafficking and things, that child's essentially, it's almost murder again, because they're kind of ruined for life, if you really think about it. So that is something that's always stuck with us. And just sticking with the spirit of why we started this, when Facebook shut down Save the Children hashtags, you know, we wanted to make a difference there. So we've worked with CAST, which is out of California. We worked with childrensrights.org and many others, you know, through these years to actually, you know, make a difference, make a dent in this. And, you know, it's not a lot of dollars, but hopefully they're used in the right way. You know, these children can get out of these situations. They can, you know, get the resources that they need and, you know, start building their life. And, you know, obviously having
hopefully have a childhood.
That's exactly right. Yes, for sure.
Now, how would we know about the platform? It's Wimkin.com, and I would suggest signing up and becoming a member. This is really going to be a fast-growing platform, and everything he describes and every reason he gave for starting the platform is worth supporting. And that's just that. Where else can we find you, Jason?
Okay, so Wimkin, I'm pretty much visible there. You know, I'm always active, so you know, you can just you'll find me there pretty easily. I mean, we have posts, we have everything that someone's responding to pretty much every second. But on Twitter, I am my new account that I opened up, and I believe right at the end of March, It has a whopping almost 800 followers now, down from my 700,000 from my first one. But it's at Free Speech SM for Free Speech Social Media. And on Facebook, we are Wimkin Uncensored. And you'll see we have about 75,000 followers and likes on that page. So, because there's some spoof pages out there that if you don't see those larger numbers, then you won't, you're not on the right page.
And you've got an Instagram at jason.shepherd068.
I do, but you know what? I don't really use those platforms. We utilize Facebook for our Wimkin profile just because it's free marketing and we can let people know we exist, the people that are fed up with Facebook. But I don't try to feed the beast so much, so every now and then you might see a post on Instagram, but I certainly don't think that one is worth much of a follow because I might have posted there 5 times in 2 years.
Okay. All right. Jason Shepherd, thank you so much for coming on today.
Absolutely.
I definitely want to have you back soon.
I'd love to. Please keep up the great work and stay safe in Ukraine. I mean, we'll certainly say prayers for you.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you for joining us today. And I hope you will check out wimkin.com and support Jason Shepherd's effort. Have a great day.